So we're going to start a brand new series today called Spiritual Gifts for God's Glory. I want to thank Kurt for giving us a visual up here this morning. Kurt, thank you very much for doing that. And we're going to be taking the next 4 weeks, so the entire month of February, we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts. Also, we've kind of rolled out something new today, or we're making it more available on a regular basis, are the sermon CDs. This particular series builds on each other. So this week is sort of the foundation. We're going to talk about what spiritual gifts are, the what and the whys of spiritual gifts. And then over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to look in more detail at certain of the gifts that are listed for us in Scripture. So we'll be looking at those. So they kind of build on each other. So if you have to miss a week, or if you hear something that you think you'd like someone that couldn't be here today to know about it, the sermons are online, but also they're available in CD form. So in the as you leave the main area on the right-hand side as you go out the door, you'll see a display, and Scott is going to make 4 or 5 CDs each Sunday, and if you want one, you can take one. If there isn't one there that you want, there is a sign-up sheet, so you can sign your name up there, and we will have those hopefully in your mailbox by the following Sunday. And if you don't have a mailbox, then just we'll make sure we get it to you some other way. But we want you to be able to build upon the things that we're talking about. It's one of the advantages of preaching in a sermon series is that things build upon each other. And so we want to be able to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. So those are there. They don't cost anything. Thank you to Scott for making those. And again, if I've said this before, but if there's some there that have been around for a very, very long time and there's still nobody's taking any of them, they make really good coasters. So just take one or two of them home, and that'll make me feel better. Even if you don't listen to them, I will feel well. I will be encouraged, which is a spiritual gift. So hopefully you can exercise that. Spiritual gifts are extremely, extremely important to the body of Christ. They are listed for us several times in the New Testament, talking about this idea of spiritual gifts and how important they are for us in the body of Christ. So today we're just going to kind of jump right in to a quick definition of what spiritual gifts are. Now, there's 1,000 different definitions of what they are. This is just one that I like. A spiritual gift is a God-given capacity for each follower of Jesus to fulfill his or her function in the body of Christ. So it is a God-given gift to each and every person, every believer, every follower of Jesus has at least one spiritual gift. And it is for the purpose of helping us or equipping us to fulfill the function that Christ has called us. We all have work to do. No one is saved. No one comes into a relationship with Christ to sit, soak, and sour, as I've heard somebody put it. But we are in fact saved to serve. We are saved to do something in the body of Christ and to serve the body of Christ. So each believer or spiritual gifts are given to every believer. If you know Christ as Savior, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and part of his baggage that he brings into your life are spiritual gifts, or is spiritual gifts. He brings those things into you. So you may not know what they are, you may not have discovered them yet, but I can promise you, according to the Word of God, that you, in fact, do have them. But there is a problem, and the problem is that if we're honest with each other, and certainly if we look across the landscape of Christianity, we would recognize that the church is not really doing her job all that well. We are not reaching people for Christ like we ought to. We are not living in the way that God would have us to live consistently across the landscape of the Christian church. And I think one of the main reasons for that is that we're not using and exercising our gifts. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is there's lots of room for improvement. So whatever good we're doing now in terms of a church or in terms of the influence that we have for the cause of Christ, there is great room for improvement. We can do even better if we understand, develop our spiritual gifts. So here's a couple of reasons why people are not utilizing them. Spiritual gifts are not utilized fully because some fail to care at all. Some people just don't care. And I hope that's not true of anybody here this morning, but there are people in the body of Christ who just don't really care to serve. They just want to come into a relationship with Jesus and then let everything else stay the same and just keep God out of every other part of your life. God doesn't work that way. God doesn't desire that. And we don't work that way in most other areas of our lives. How many of you have received a Christmas gift this year that you still have not opened? Anyone? Cody's got one? All right, Cody, could you leave? You don't apply to you. No, I'm just kidding. Cody's still got a gift that he hasn't opened. That is so sweet. That is so nice. I'm sure there's a backstory to that somehow. We'll go through that later. But most of you have opened all of your gifts. Most of you have not received any gifts for Christmas in 2012 that you have not already opened. Now, some of you may have gifts that you're given that you haven't been able to use yet. You know, I don't know, a tanning bed or something like that. But you may not have been able to use all of it, you know, suntan lotion or something. You know, you can't really use that yet till later on. But we've all opened them because that's what we do with gifts. We get the gifts and we want to use them. We want to open them. And what God has done is God has gift-wrapped abilities. God has given us things. And if we don't use them, it's like they're in our lives and they're just sitting there as unopened gifts. And that's not what we want. A second thing, and I think this is more likely the issue with us from time to time, is some fail to care enough. It's not that we don't care at all. It's just that we don't care enough. And what I mean by that is that we're involved, we're serving, we're doing things in the church or outside of the church, but we haven't really taken the time to figure out if what we're doing matches the gifts and abilities that God has given to us, have given to us. So we look at that and we think, well, I don't really know. I'm doing this and it's kind of frustrating. I don't really have any joy in this. It needs to be done, and so I'm doing it. And so there's a benefit to that. But when it really clicks, when it really works, is when you and I find the things that God has actually supernaturally gifted us to do. When we discover that, when we develop that, and then we use that, those gifts, in the context of ministry, in the church or outside of the church, that is when it really clicks. That is when God begins to use us in ways that we could never have imagined. That's when ministry and service does not become a bore, does not become a chore, but instead it is something that we look forward to doing each and every Sunday or throughout the week. I remember in Virginia when I was a children's pastor, there was a lady named Rowena Haley, and Rowena taught third grade girls. And each Sunday she'd have somewhere between 12 and 18 third grade girls in her class, probably half of which, or at least probably two-thirds of that number, didn't actually attend the church. They came in on the bus. And Rowena was there, and I'm not sure I ever saw Rowena not smiling. And I talked to her about that, and I said, what is the deal with you? I mean, you know, third-grade girls, not the toughest demographic in the world to teach in Sunday school. It's not as difficult as the, you know, boys in almost any grade. But it's not as difficult. But she just had this incredible glow. And she's like, you know, Eric, this is my gift. I just have this gift that God has given me to pour my life into these girls. And she was a really good teacher, but for her, it wasn't so much the teaching, and I don't even know if she had the spiritual gift of teaching, but she had a gift of encouragement. And those little girls would come into her class, and they would tell her about her week, and she would talk about her week, and she would tell them about Jesus, and it was just wonderful. She was someone who had discovered her gifts and was using them in a way that God was blessing her and blessing all of those girls in her class. Now, I think that the church bears much of the responsibility for this last one. The church bears a lot of responsibility for this because what we tend to do is we tend to see something that needs to be done, and if we're not really looking for your giftedness, we're just looking to see if you can breathe. All right, and if you can breathe, if you're alive, we'll try to plug you into that spot so that we can get the job done. And breathing is not a spiritual gift, all right? That's just a gift that we have. That's just a thing we get from the grace of God, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. If you're alive today, you're breathing. It's not a gift. But that's what we tend to do. And I've done that many, many times. Many times I had in Virginia, I needed teachers to teach in children's ministry because we had 24 classes running every Sunday morning, one at 9:30, first grade boys, second grade boys, third grade boys, first grade, all those different classes, all the way up through sixth grade at 9:30, and all that again at 11 o'clock, and a junior. I mean, it was just a lot of stuff that needed to happen. And there were many times in my life, in the wrong way, where I was just looking for somebody who was just willing to be alive and stand in there in the room and make sure those boys didn't kill each other. I mean, that's really just what I wanted to do. If you could just stay in there, be in there, pass out the papers, you know, make sure that they didn't run out of the room and leave, I was happy because I just needed a body in there. And that was my fault. And that's not what the church needs to do. The church needs to help you to understand what your gifts are, to exhort you and to encourage you to use those gifts for the glory of God. And I know in March, we have a class here in our Sunday school curriculum called Network. And Carol Manbeck is going to be teaching that class. I'm actually going to be in the class, taking that class with her. And I encourage many of you, if you don't really understand what your gifts are, enroll in that Sunday school class starting in March. Be a part of that group as we try to help you understand and develop those gifts that God has given to you. Let's suppose that the Ravens called me today and they said, you know what, we need a center for the game tonight. Not sure why that's so funny. Suppose the Ravens called me today and said, you know, we need a center for the game tonight. Now I've watched a lot of football. I could do that job. All right? I know how to center a football. I have two arms, two legs. I'm able to do all of that. But the problem is that by the end of the game, I might look like this. Because though I could do it in some rudimentary way, right? I could do it. I wouldn't be any good at it. It's not part of my gift. I'm not large enough to be able to do that. I wouldn't understand the formations. I wouldn't know how to call the blocking assignments. I wouldn't know how to do any of that stuff. That's not what we want for you as you serve and as you minister in the body of Christ. We don't want you to feel like this on Sunday morning. We don't want you to feel like that. Yeah, maybe every now and then there are days that even if you're working in your gifts and serving in your gifts, you're going to have days like that. But that's not what we want for you here. That's not what God wants for you in the body of Christ. Each of us needs to know his or her spiritual gifts so we can find our place of ministry and priority of ministry. Each of us needs to do that. This is so important. So let's invest some time together over this month and then hopefully in March in Network class to really understand. And I'm telling you, we can't afford to have any of you sitting on the sidelines as we move forward and do what God would have us to do here at Buffalo Valley. Now, here's my big idea. Spiritual gifts are given by the grace of God for the growth of the body, for the glue of the body, and for the glory of God. Spiritual gifts are given by the grace of God for the growth of the body, for the glue of the body, and for the glory of God. And we're going to look at that statement today and then look at aspects of that statement all through the next 4 weeks, 3 weeks, as we also look at some spiritual gifts. So I've really just listed these for you in your notes. If you haven't done this, I sent out an email this week, but if you haven't done this, I really want to encourage you to read these passages of Scripture over the next few weeks. These are the main passages that deal with the idea of spiritual gifts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, and 1 Peter, and we're going to read portions of those this morning. So let's just jump right in. Actually, you know what? Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for all of this information you give us about spiritual gifts, how it's repeated over and over again in your word. I pray even how we would remember even how Jesus said that when he left, that the Spirit would come to comfort us, to teach us, to guide us. And though he really didn't delineate and specify spiritual gifts, that doctrine was developed later through the Apostle Paul. It all fits in with what he said. Lord, help us. Help us to discover and develop the gifts that you have given to us. Thank you for giving us these gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Number one, spiritual gifts are given by the grace of God. This is a really, really important point right up front. Spiritual gifts are given by the grace of God. In Romans chapter 12, Paul writes this, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." So having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. that in 1 Peter chapter 4, we read this, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So this connection between gifts and grace. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." So the gifts that we have are given to us by God, by the grace of God. We don't earn them. He gives them to us. And this is important because God knows exactly what He needs done and who He needs to do it. God knows exactly what He needs done and who He needs to do it. So the omniscient, all-powerful, eternal God has gifted each of us according to His grace, according to His desire, according to His purpose. And this is really great to understand because it removes any kind of thoughts or hints of jealousy or envy about gifts. And we're going to read in a little while how that became a problem in at least one of the churches in the New Testament. And it can be a problem in us as we look at somebody else's quote-unquote giftedness and we think, oh, I wish I had that gift, or how come I don't have that gift and they have that gift, or they're not using that gift very well. If I had that gift, then I could really use that gift. No, we've been given the gifts that we've been given. We are the people that we are because that's who God needs us to be. And I believe that God places people in local churches, in local bodies, according to the giftedness that He needs for them at that particular time and in that particular place. So God knows exactly what He needs done and who He needs to do it. God has it covered, and it's all by His grace. Number two, spiritual gifts are given for the growth of the body. Spiritual gifts are given for the growth of the body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, we read this, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the who? Profit of all." It's given to each of us. Spiritual gifts are given to each of us, but they're for the profit or benefit of the entire body. Ephesians 4:12 says, "For the equipping of the," not to saints, but the saints, sorry, "for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." The edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. And then in verse 16 of that same chapter, Paul writes, "According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." And all of these passages that I'm giving you are just pieces of those four larger paragraphs or larger sections that I gave you earlier on, which we didn't really have time to read all of those this morning. So we see very clearly that spiritual gifts are given for the growth of the body. And this really helps us because there are some varying opinions out there about what spiritual gifts are and what kinds of things are spiritual gifts. And one of the things that really helps us to understand whether this is a gift or not is simply the question of, is it benefiting anybody else? If it's just benefiting you, it's not a spiritual gift according to the definition that God gives us in His Word again and again and again. Spiritual gifts are given for the growth of the body, for the growth of the body. You say, well, I sing really well in the shower. Well, I'm glad for you, all right? But that's not a spiritual gift because it's not causing growth in the body. I mean, maybe we could record that and play it on Sunday morning or something like that, and it would all help us to grow, but I don't really think that's where we're headed. So that's not what that would be. It's for the growth of the body. Spiritual gifts are given as a function of relationship. This is why we need to be part of a local church. We need to be part of a local church because we need to use our gifts in conjunction with those in the body to build up the body, to edify the body. People say, well, I don't really need to be a part of a church. I can just sort of do my church at home. And yeah, you can grow in your relationship with Christ to an extent. You can learn the Bible and you can leave and listen and watch online and all kinds of things. But in the order to really exercise and use these gifts that God has given to you, it is in the body. It is a function of other people. It's connected with and to other people. You could be a hermit if you wanted to, all right? But that's not how God wants you to function. That's not how God wants you to live. God wants you to be amongst and around other people, all right? Spiritual gifts are a function of relationship. This next sentence is so important. You are needed as a vital part of what we do and who we are at Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. And I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how new you are into the faith. I don't care how old you are into faith. I don't care if perhaps for the last X number of years, you have kind of stepped back, stepped on the sideline and said, you know what, let's let the younger folks do it. No, we need you. You are a vital part. If this is the body that God has called you to be, he hasn't called you here to spectate. He's called you here to participate. And it's not only for the growth of the body, but it's really for the benefit of you and me as well, as we exercise and develop the spiritual gifts. Your gifts are needed. If we're all not engaged, we are like a puzzle that is missing pieces all throughout the puzzle. We need to be engaged with God and with one another in developing our spiritual gifts. Number three, spiritual gifts are given for the glue of the body. Really, the word unity fits there better, but it doesn't begin with the letter G. So spiritual gifts are given for the glue of the body. Spiritual gifts are given to keep us all together. All right? Gifts are never meant to divide us. Never. Spiritual, and this happens so frequently, and it's not meant that way. Spiritual gifts are never meant to divide us. Sometimes regular gifts can do that. You know, if you're a parent and you've had this experience of giving gifts to children, sometimes it's, you know, you try hard, you try to get the gifts kind of the same for each child, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way, or sometimes one child just really likes their gift more, and another child feels like, oh, you know, you gave him more gifts than you gave me. You know, you love him more than you love me. You love her more than you love me. And, you know, and gifts sort of divide. You know, I hate when that happens. So we just don't give any gifts to our kids anymore. No, I'm just kidding. But we don't want that to happen. And that's never intended for God. God never intends to divide us by giving gifts. But you know what? It happens. And we have a record of it in the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. He writes this in 11, 17 through 19. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it, for there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Paul is writing to them in part that, hey, guys, you got issues here with your giftedness. You're dividing yourself. They were arguing over who baptized who earlier in that letter. Paul warns them about that. It's probably not very surprising that just a few paragraphs after that, Paul writes this: there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. The gifts are given for the glue of the body to hold us together. One more passage from that same collection of scriptures, Romans 12, 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. You know, the thigh bone is connected to the hip bone's connected to, you know, that's the song of spiritual gifts. We're all connected to one another. They glue us together. They do not or are not intended in any way to divide us apart. So, number four, spiritual gifts are given by the grace of God. And this really I just want to lay a groundwork here for you. They're given by the grace of God. They're given for the growth of the body. They're given for the edification, the building up of the body. They are given for the glue of the body, and they are given for the glory of God. No one is asking you to use your gifts for your glory, for the glory of this church, but for the glory of God. 1 Peter 4:11, this is the last passage on spiritual gifts in the Bible. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. And here's the key phrase: that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. God gives us these gifts so that we may bring glory to God. And this is so freeing. Because how you use your gift, or the way in which you exercise that gift, or even the way that God has given you that gift, is not for your glory, and you don't have to worry about how other people use their gifts or the results of other people using their gifts. I believe that as God gives these gifts to us, I think there's even certain measures of gifts that God may give to us. So that let's say, for example, that I have a gift of pastor teacher, which I hope I have. I think I have that gift. But I am nowhere near the most gifted pastor teacher in the body of Christ. Thankful there were not a lot of amens there. I am nowhere near the most gifted individual of that gift. But whether a person preaches, if a person has that gift, if he or she has that gift, and they preach to a congregation of 10 or a congregation of 10,000, they do not have to compare themselves. Because if we are using and developing that gift to the full extent, whether we are ministering to 10 or 10,000, God gets the same amount of glory from that. There is no pressure. There is no comparison of these gifts because they're not for my glory. They're not for your glory. They're for the glory of God. For me, that removes a lot of pressure. For me, it means I don't have to look at my life and compare it to somebody else's life. Or if we're in a network class and we recognize we have the same gifts, and I look at this person, I think, wow, they really do that a lot better than I do. Maybe that's simply because the measure of that gift that God has given them is greater than that which God has given me. That's not my responsibility to figure out. My responsibility is just to use my gift to the best of the ability that God has given me. In using spiritual gifts, the ability comes from God. The situation comes from God. And the results belong to God. The ability comes from God, the situation comes from God, and the results belong to God. Now, as I close, we desperately cannot waste our gifts. We just cannot. I ran across something this week that I didn't know. Do you know that from the year 2005 to 2011, over $41 billion were placed on gift cards that were never used? Can you imagine that? That's one of the reasons why people like you to buy gift cards. It's because maybe it's like you get the last dollar, 57 cents, that's not used, and it gets stuck in a drawer, and it just goes away. But they said, and I saw this statistic in the Wall Street Journal, NPR, several different places, that over $41 billion from 2005 to 2011 was thrown away. Money that people put on the cards, and the cards were thrown away, not used, lost maybe, whatever the case may be. Again, you know, $2.43, 53 cents here and there on the card, just, forget it. That's a lot of wasted resources, isn't it? God has given us spiritual gifts. God has given to us supernatural abilities, which we'll look at. Now, again, not leaping over a tall building or anything like that, but supernatural abilities that God has given to us to use in the body of Christ. We dare not waste them. Our task is to discover and develop the spiritual gifts so that we are all spent for God's glory. That's what this is all about. Develop those gifts, discover those gifts, so that we are totally, totally spent for the glory of God. If you're here this morning and you're using your gifts and you know it, and you know it, look, I've identified my gifts. I know what God has given me. I'm using them. I am so excited. I'm looking for testimonies over these next 3 weeks. If you'd like to come and share something like that, let me know. We'll plug you in up here. I'd like the congregation to hear about how that's working in your life. And I keep going. Keep spending yourself. Keep spending the gifts that God has given to you. But maybe, I'm sure that there are some here who just, I'm not even sure what my gifts are. I'm so glad you're here. You're target audience number one for the messages. We're going to help you discover those gifts. Maybe you already know what they are, and you're not really using them. You're target audience number two. We want to help you to get back, maybe using them again for all of God's glory. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, this church thing is brand new to you, I want you to understand that in a relationship with Jesus Christ, He's not going to give you a gift card, but He gives you gifts. He gives you abilities that you can use that count for eternity and that God can use to minister in the lives of other people. That's that great God that we serve. We want to help you get to know Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for, I thank You that You give us these gifts. You give us these perfect supernatural gifts in very imperfect, very natural bodies. And so, Lord, I pray that as we use these gifts, as we minister these gifts to one another, as we discover them, as we develop them. Lord, we'll look back and go, wow. God, look at what you've done. So, I pray that you would pour into our lives this week, this month. Motivate us, encourage us to develop and discover our gifts so that we can be totally spent for you. In Jesus' name, amen.